Today, if we listen to the gospel, it could be kind of like God's out to get us, huh? You know, you got to get this right, and if you don't do this, I'm going to get you when you least know it, so you better be awake. But we know that God isn't like that, that God is love by definition. But the readings tell us what we got to do to be prepared. And if you listen to the readings, the first reading talked about wisdom. The response, which was sung today, talked about thirsting. And the gospel talked about preparing. And so the first thing we got to look at is wisdom. Now, every one of us here got the gift of wisdom. We were given that gift when we were baptized, when the Holy Spirit came upon us. That gift was strengthened when we received confirmation. But a lot of people don't use the gift. You know, today, little Nicholas, when he gets baptized, aren't he excited? He will sit there and he's going to get all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of those gifts that he will get is the gift of wisdom. We all have it. But a lot of people have it, but don't use it. What is the gift of wisdom? The gift of wisdom, which is that which helps us to know what we need to do to go to heaven. Again, I've said a thousand times that there is no neutral steps. You and I are either taking a step towards Jesus or a step away from Jesus. There is no neutral. So the gift of wisdom helps you and I to sit there and know, am I walking towards the Lord or am I going away from the Lord? Am I truly walking in that way? Because we all know a trip of 1,000 miles begins at one step. So it's very important to use this gift to make sure we're doing what we need to do so that you and I can go to heaven, okay? The second thing is we gotta have that thirst. You know, the psalm talks about the thirst for the living God. And that's the first thing we got to ask ourselves this morning, is do you and I truly have that thirst for Jesus? That he's all we want. All, and again, look at your heart. Let me look at my heart. Is Jesus what I want more than anything? You know, why are you here today? Are you here because Father Larry's going to beat you if he doesn't see you at Mass on Sunday? Some of you. But are you here because you're thirsting for the living Lord, that you want Jesus more than you want anything else? Because that's the only thing that's going to matter when you and I drop, is that he will give you and I what we want, and it got to be him. You notice, everyone here is going to live forever. We know that. That's what God has given to us. But we either live forever happy or forever unhappy. The decision is ours. God will give us what we want. And if you listen to the second reading today, it's a phenomenal reading about those who have died. We don't need to grieve for them because they get to be with the Lord. And then it talks about, you know, the rapture thing, if you will, the way the Protestants, we don't believe in a rapture. If you believe in a rapture, you have an un-Catholic theology. I had a professor in seminary who used to say there's going to be a rupture before there's ever a rapture. But the reality is we don't believe that. You know, we believe that you're going to be raptured when you drop. You're raptured. Are you ready? You just got to meet the Lord. But to be alive forever means that we are going to be with Jesus for those of us who really want him. If you want him, if you want him. And so one of the things you got to think about, yes, I want him. Well, can you prove that by the time you give to him? There are 7 days a week, 24 hours in a day. How much time do you give to Jesus? If it's only sometimes, every once in a while, or even every week, I give him once a week, 45 minutes to an hour, or an hour and 20. I go to the long mass at Bread of Life, St. Joseph. And so I give him an hour and a half a week. And God's jumping up and down. Ooh, he gave me an hour and a half a week. I give you 7 hours, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. How many? 168 hours. Wow, and we give him an hour. Does that mean I thirst for him? Oh, I thirst for you. I'm giving you an hour every week. I don't think so. You can tell what the people at the mall are thirsting for. I was up there this past week. Up at the mall, Christmas has already happened. I was in JCPenney's and it was so packed, you couldn't move in the place, huh? And now already they thirst for money. And because they thirst for money, Christmas has already happened. It's not even Thanksgiving. Last week it wasn't even Halloween, and yet the trees were up. Because when you thirst for something, when you desire something, you prepare for it. They desire money, so they prepare for it. And they do it months and months now ahead of time. If you and I are going to want to go and be with Christ forever, we must prepare for that. If we long for Him, what are you doing to prepare for Him?
Well, I go to Mass once a week, Father.
That's not enough,
daughter, son.
He wants you to thirst for Him more than anything.
He doesn't want you to give Him an hour a week and think you're being holy.
He wants you to thirst for Him. So the first thing you and I got to do is see in my heart. In my heart of hearts, do I thirst for Jesus? And if we don't go crazy over it. Like I just got done reading Huckleberry Finn. You know, I never read Huckleberry Finn. And so one of the things in poor Huckleberry, what Huck is sitting there and he should he help this slave or shouldn't he? And for him in his mind, if he helped the slave, he was going to do something bad and he'd go to hell. So he's going back and forth and he says, you know, yeah, okay, it's done. I'm going to hell. And he was all like, oh, if that's what's going to happen. So if you're sitting here and thinking, I don't thirst for Jesus, you don't sit there and say, okay, it's done. I'm going to hell. Well, that ain't a good thing. What you and I do, if we don't thirst for Jesus, we ask Jesus who's here and say, Jesus, you know my heart. I know my heart. I don't thirst for you. So Jesus, make me thirst for you. Help me to thirst for you more than I thirst for life, Jesus. Make me thirst for you more than anything. He will not say no to that prayer. But the question is, how many of us will really say that prayer? How many of us really desire more than anything to thirst for Him? That when I wake up, I thirst for Him. And again, what that'll take then is preparation. So the first thing you and I do, if we're going to prepare as the gospel tells us, is we got to spend time with them. Isn't it amazing? When He sends the five virgins out and will not let them in the door, He says, when they say, Lord, Lord, let me in, what does He say? Get out of here because I never knew you. They weren't in relationship with Jesus. They didn't thirst for Him. You know, you can want to live forever and be selfish about it. I want to live forever. I never want to die. All why? Because I don't want to die. That's a selfish thing. That ain't why we come to the Lord. We come to the Lord because I want to be with Him and I want to give my life for Him. And when you and I say, Jesus, I want to love you more than anything, we give our life for Him, He gives us everlasting life. You see, it's not the goal in itself. I want to live forever because that's selfish. The goal is Jesus. I want to love you forever. And then the gift is I give you eternal life. You can't seek Him for the gift. You seek Him for who He is. And then He gives you the gift. That's the gospel. So we got to prepare for that. So we do that by spending time with Him. The second thing we do is we need to make sure that we're always prepared. Which means if He comes in the middle of this mess and He takes you, are you prepared? And the way He does that is if you and I stay in a state of grace. Now to stay in a state of grace, now always at our church, we are packed 15 minutes before Mass for confession. Never once have I had to sit there and say, oh, there's nobody here today. We are packed for that. But yesterday from 4 to 5, when I take the time to come in here and hear confessions, I heard 5 to 7 confessions yesterday. It took about 9 minutes. So I spent 51 minutes, in that confessional doing my prayers. It was a good thing for me. But again, as much as our Holy Father, Benedict XVI, tells us, the lines for confession should be as long as the lines for communion. Now you watch today how long these communion lines will be. How come our confession lines aren't that long? Somebody tell me.
Well, Father, I don't have much sin.
You have pride. You should be the first one in line. If you don't go to confession because you don't think you have much sin, you're the one that needs confession more than anybody else in this church. Let me give you a hint. You and I went to confession last night.
You know how long it was before I went to confession last night since my last confession? 2 weeks. And yet I still know how much I need the mercy of God in my life. When was the last time you went to confession? Are you prepared if he comes and takes you home this afternoon and you're on your way home? Are you prepared to meet the Lord? You're not if you're not in a state of grace. So you got to make sure that you use the time available to make sure you get to confession. Finally, what you and I got to do to prepare to meet the Lord is we got to pray for that preparation. This is the month of November, so hopefully no one's going to leave today without putting the people that you love, name, who have died on this book of remembrance. And then you take a card, or we have other cards in the back, and on the one side we pray for the poor souls in purgatory, which is important. On the other side, we pray for a happy death, which is for us. Because what's important is that when we come to meet the Lord, that we're ready, huh? Monsignor Gannon used to pray a prayer to St. Joseph every day for a happy death. And he had the happiest death of anybody I knew, because he prayed for 40 years for the grace for a happy death. It used to be everybody prayed for a grace for a happy death. We don't even think about that anymore. But it's the most important thing you'll ever do. Mary Mead passed away this week, one of our parishioners. And before she was ready, she said, I don't want nothing. She was in her 90s. It was time. But she says, I hope I do this okay, because I've never had to do it before. So it was her first time dying. And now she gets to see the face of God. But many times she had lived her life in such a way that she was prepared for when that moment came. Are you prepared for when that moment will come? To be prepared, you got to spend time with them now. To get to know him now, you got to sit there and make sure your soul is ready to always stay in the state of grace. And you got to pray that when that time comes, you'll be ready, because that's when life really begins. Got it? Get it? Good. May each of you know his love today and forever. Amen.